This is so good. I am so glad that you're here. My name is Andre. I am the Young Adults and Executive Pastor here at Hope Chapel. I'm so glad you're here. And man, do we have a treat for you today. You want to know what it is?
Yeah.
All right. Okay. All right. So today, if you have not noticed on the front of your bulletin, we have a special speaker, and this speaker is very special to us at Hope Chapel. He has a history here with Hope Chapel. He just happens to be the son-in-law of Paul and Ainsley Harmon. Pastor Mike Sanders, if you haven't figured it out, is going to be our speaker today. But I get the honor of introducing him and not embarrass him. It's more because he has more embarrassing stories about me than I have about him. So I got to really watch what I say around here. But Pastor Mike and I have known each other for quite some time. I got to meet him. He was the first person I met at Hope Chapel. I actually came to the young adults before I came to Sunday morning because I'm terrified. I used to be terrified of Sunday mornings. And so young adults is where it all started. And so many faces here are from that ministry. And I just got to tell you how grateful we all are for what Mike and Emily have done for us in our lives. You can't cry, you're about to speak, so we won't do that to you. But we just want to let you know how grateful we are for you and your ministry and what you've done for us. If you don't know much about Pastor Mike, he'll get a chance to tell you about it. He has three beautiful kiddos, two daughters, one son, and he has an amazing wife, Emily Sanders, who is here somewhere. Yeah, but I'm just so honored to have said and still call him my mentor. He's walked me through so many things, except for my speaking. That's something nobody can ever get me out of. But I remember many, many hours spent in his offices just telling him how much I'm just unhappy and not okay with what's going on. And he was just like, dude, you just got to know that the Lord will come through. And I love this about this man is that he knows, and he continues to remind people that God will come through. You watch what God's going to do. You watch what God's going to do. So I'm not going to take anything away from your message because I'm stoked for you to speak. But Pastor Mike, would you come up here?
Yeah. Thank you, Andre.
We don't shake hands.
I love you.
I love you.
Can I share the embarrassing story?
Yes, yes.
So after a college group, we had to take Andre in, and he needed somewhere to stay, so he stayed at a house. But I got to tuck Andre in and read him a little story before going to sleep. So I love you.
Me too.
I have some other stories, but I won't.
We're not
going to
share it. Yeah, okay. No, those things between you guys.
Okay.
But done with the embarrassing, I'd like to pray for your message.
I'm proud of you, Andre. You are an amazing man of God, and so back at you. Isn't Andre incredible what God has done? I love you. Proud of you.
Awesome. Well, let me pray so we can get this baby
all
on
right.
the road, yeah?
Okay.
Well, Father, I thank you for Pastor Mike, and I thank you for the word that you put on his heart today. I thank you, Lord, for the work that you're going to do for us today, Lord, as the recipient. So, Lord, I pray for Pastor Mike to allow you to just speak and do. Lord, we pray that you would allow us to hear and do. So, Lord, we give you the glory. Lord, we know that this is all from you. We praise you, Lord, for your goodness and all the great things that we're about to hear. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Andre. Appreciate it. Well, good morning, Hope Chapel. How's everyone doing today? Good. All right. Well, I just wanted to say, first of all, thank you for Pastor Paul giving me the privilege to share with you. It's every time or any time I've ever had a chance to preach or open the Word of God and share it, I take it as a great honor and a privilege, and it's a high responsibility. So thank you for Pastor Paul for entrusting me to share with my family, my church family. I love you. And I'm grateful for each and every one of you. And I wanted to start by acknowledging that many of you may know or you didn't know, I was really sick about 4 or 5 months ago. I mean, like deathly sick. And it came out of nowhere. And while I was in the hospital, I knew that my family was praying for me. And it was your prayers that, it wasn't like I knew you were praying. I felt and I knew you were praying for me. That carried me through one of the darkest, scariest kind of moments and seasons I've been through. So I wanted to say thank you on behalf of my family. You guys helped sustain us financially. You guys prayed for us. You supported us. And so for that, I am incredibly grateful on behalf of my family. Thank you. I love you, Hope Chapel. Amen? Okay. You guys deserve a round of applause for that because we've got a wonderful family here at Hope Chapel. So with that, if you have your Bibles and you want to open them up, We're going to get to God's Word, and if you need a Bible, you can raise your hand, and an usher will find you one and give you one, and a bulletin as well. But this morning, we are going to talk about prayer, and Pastor Paul has been on a series that's been called Following Doctor's Orders, and it's in reference to prayer, and that's the focus. And this morning, I want to add to that, and we're going to look at the Lord's Prayer. And we're going to look at it, but we're going to look at it through the lens of relationship. So we're going to think relationship this morning. That's the buzzword. That's the emphasis. And so everything that I want to share this morning with you, that we could have relationship in our mind and in our perspective when we look at the Lord's Prayer through the message and through God's Word this morning. And so this morning as we get into the message, the message is entitled Pray Like This. And that's what Jesus said. He says, pray like this, and then he prayed the Lord's Prayer. And what I believe we're going to find out is the Lord's Prayer is our prayer. He was giving it to you and I. So it's not necessarily like his prayer, it's our prayer. He's showing us how to have a relationship and a connection with God that he had with the Father. And so we're going to get into that. But I wanted to before we begin, say that wherever you are, in your prayer life, you may not even have one if you don't know God or if you haven't invited Jesus into your life, so there's not much prayer life there. Or you may have a prayer life that is intact, but it's struggling or it's failing or you're having this a hard time connecting with God. Or maybe your prayer life is amazing. Maybe you're doing really good in your prayer life, and this message about prayer is only going to make you all the more excited to go pray and be with God. But what I don't want this morning as we talk about prayer to have any sense of guilt or shame be put on us. And I think that most of us have probably enough guilt and shame as it is. We walk around, and that's why Jesus says, I bore your guilt and your shame, because he knows we just walk around with guilt and shame. And we just are constantly need to be reminded of that God says, I love you, you are okay, you are enough, and I'm working in your life, I'm getting you there, we're all in this process. But guilt and shame isn't going to draw you and I to God, it's going to push us away. So may there be no guilt and shame wherever you are in your life of prayer and approaching God. There's no guilt or shame here. But rather, us looking at Jesus and his model of prayer for us, that we could see what we can have. There is an incredible blessing and a benefit and a desire that God has for a relationship with us that we can have through prayer. So may we come at it from that perspective of what God wants for each one of us in prayer, not how much have you been praying this week or last week or how well do you know how to pray? None of that. Just, God, we want to come to you, our Father, and we're going to see in the Lord's Prayer, and we want to hear from you. And we want to know you, and we want to have a connection and relationship with you that's genuine, it's real, and it's just something that will be so satisfying for each one of us. Amen? Let's open in prayer. Thank you, Andre, for praying. But I would just love to pray for us. Join me. Father, we thank you that we can come to you in the name of Jesus and ask that your will would be done here today. And that you would get a chance, Lord, to meet and speak to each person here, those watching online, that you see us exactly where we are. You know what we need before we even ask. And Lord, you want to meet us here today through your word and our time together. So I ask that that would be accomplished and that, Lord, we could sense something that would be motivating and that would draw us into that place of prayer, not away from it. So we thank you for what you're going to do today. We ask for your blessings on your word in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 You know, I've really found my experience of prayer of up and down. It's great, and then it's like not so great. And in my time of following God, it's just sometimes life can get really busy and distracting. And then sometimes it's your relationship with God is amazing. So there's the reality for each one of us, that we're all trying to get to that place where our connection in our prayer life really is as consistent and as amazing as possible. So let's aim at that. So if you have your Bibles, we're going to look at Luke chapter 11, verse 1, and then we're going to go in Matthew chapter 6 to look at the Lord's Prayer. So I'm going to, first of all, just say is this as we get started. As you find Luke 11:1, hold your place, and then Matthew 6. I wanted to start by inviting you into how I think and process. Is that okay? You want to kind of invite it into my thoughts and my brain? And when I sit with God and I read the Bible and what I've experienced and what I've known God and following him since I was 19 years old and I'm almost 39, oh my goodness, how did that happen? But when I think and what God has shown me is I like to think big picture and then kind of zero in. It's like you get to see this picture from a distance and you can see the whole thing. And then when you start to zoom in and get close to it, you can see the incredible detail that goes into a painting or something like that. And sometimes I'll read the Bible like that. And what I mean is I'll go from thinking how incredible that the heavens and the universe and the earth was all created by God. And he created it for us. So everything that we see was all for you and I. And then when we take that in consideration, we are the crown of creation. It's all for us. And when you think of that, you see God having fellowship with us. You can have all these things, it's all yours, just don't eat that tree. And then you see sin and separation happen. And God's devastated. He just can't believe that his loving creation, human beings that he created in his image are now separated from him. And then you see the incredible story of the Bible just come to life. And that's why I'm saying big picture, broad strokes of God says, you are now separated from me. I'm not going to just send some angel to come try to get you back to me. I'm going to come myself and I'm going to get you. And then you fast forward through the prophecies and all the Old Testament. It's all foreshadowing where God was going to come himself, walk among us, right? And then eventually go to the extent of showing how much he wants you and I back to give his very life on a cross, all to communicate, I want you in relationship with me. I will do whatever it takes to have you back with me in a connection and a relationship forever. See, it's the big strokes of all this picture. And so when you see God show up, Jesus, Emmanuel, our God is with us, now you start to see Jesus, and it says that Jesus is the exact image of the invisible God. And so when you see Jesus, we're seeing our Father. Our God has come. So when I read through Jesus in the red words and I see him speaking and you watch what he does, everything that he does is trying to show us the Father. He's trying to show us the intense passion, the desire that God wants for every single one of his sons and daughters to have the connection back with him and the relationship that he longs for that we lost in separation from sin. And so then when you get into how Jesus is now going to show us how to pray, we are looking at through the lens of relationship from the big picture. God will do anything to be with you. In fact, look at Revelations, the very end in Revelations 20, is that the dwelling of God is now with men, and we will be his people, and he will be our God. What's it about? Relationship. From beginning to end, God wants you, and he'll do anything he can to get you back. So when God showed up, what is he showing us how to do? He's showing us how to be with him. He's expressing the heart of the Father. He's expressing his heart. God is showing us everything about who our loving Heavenly Father is. And then we get to watch Jesus. And so it says about Jesus, it says that he only did and said what he heard and saw the Father doing. So we're watching our Father in action as we see Jesus, our God, go through the very extent of saying, I will do whatever it takes to have you back with me. And so one of the things that he wants to teach you and I this morning is how to pray. He says that when Jesus began his ministry, he says in Matthew chapter 4, verse 23, it says, and he went throughout all of Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom. When Jesus began his ministry, what did he go and do? He taught. He's teaching. He taught the multitudes, he taught the disciples, and then he would go and take the disciples further and explain more depth of what Jesus meant by these parables. It seemed like, what do you mean by all this? So When you see Jesus teaching, it's for a reason, and if the intention is behind it, if he wants us to understand God, he wants us to know how to connect with him. One of the things he wants to teach you and I this morning that I pray he does through his word is that how we can talk with God, how we can pray. And so we're going to look at the Lord's Prayer, and then we're going to just look at one more verse in Luke 5:16, because in that verse it says Jesus himself would often slip away to the wilderness and pray. And so I want to invite you from the big picture. Now we're watching Jesus. Now he's with his disciples. And now we're going to think like we are the disciples walking with Jesus. And now if you're a disciple of Jesus, you're walking with him. And now you're watching him like Jesus is going off to the wilderness to pray. And then he comes back. And then you're over here and you're doing incredible miracles. And people who are blind are now seeing. And thousands of people are now being fed. And Jesus goes off and he prays. And then you're watching. So you're watching. Wait, Jesus is going off and he's praying, and you see something, then these miracles are taking place. And Jesus was so incredible. He was one, it says, he spoke with authority. No one was ever like Jesus before. And he spoke, people listened up, and they said, this man has something powerful. There's something about him. And so the disciples are watching this, and I think they start to make the connection. He's with his Father, he's praying, and they're watching this happen. And then in Luke chapter 11, verse 1, if you have that, read it with me. It says this: Now Jesus was praying in a certain place, and when he finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray as John taught his disciples. So why I bring this up is they must have saw something different. I mean, imagine yourself following Jesus around throughout the land and all these things are taking place, but you're watching him withdraw to the wilderness and pray. They must have saw some kind of connection, some genuine relationship that Jesus had with the Father. And the disciples finally get to a place where it's like, Jesus, we want what you have. Can you please show us how to pray? How do you pray like that? And I was thinking, you know, when we're, Emily and I were like a, you know, young couple dating many years ago, it seems like, we used to look up to older couples and they were godly examples and say, I want to be like them. And it's the same thing I believe that the disciples are seeing in Jesus. They're just seeing like, I want what you have. You have this relationship with the Father. How do we have that? Something was contagious for them to ask, Lord, can we do that? Can we pray like you pray to the Father? And so obviously Jesus answers the story and or answers the request, and he teaches them, and we're going to get there. But I was thinking, I love this story, true or not, about there was an actor who got up and who recited the Psalm 23 in his actor voice, and the Lord is my shepherd and I shall not want, and you know, he has this incredible presentation and everyone applauds at his reading of Psalms 23. And then there was a pastor who got up and he read the Psalm 23, and he says, the actor said, I know the psalm, but you know the shepherd. And that's the point of what I would hope to communicate this morning, is it's not about us knowing so many things or formulas in prayer, it is like you genuinely knowing God. You actually know him, and the prayer is just you having the connection with him. You're talking with your Father in heaven. And so they're seeing something real that Jesus had, and they wanted it, and I hope this morning that we can kind of capture some of that maybe they saw, and we could say the same things. Jesus, show us how to pray. Show us how to be real with you and not fake and not religious and not just having all these perfect things in order and the perfect real words and phrases, but just, God, here I am, your son. Like, well, can I just open myself up to you and connect with you? Like I believe the disciples saw Jesus. And so Jesus says, sure, I will teach you. And then this is what we're going to read in Matthew chapter 6, verses 5 through 15, and you can follow along with me. It says this: Jesus said, you want to pray like I pray, and you want to connect with the Father. He says this: well, when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, that they may be seen by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received the reward. But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you have need of before you even ask him. Pray then like this. And that's why I named the message title. It's real simple. Pray like this. Jesus is saying, this is how you should pray. And he says this, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will heavenly Father forgive your trespasses. So Jesus just gave them a template on how they can pray and connect with God, their heavenly Father. Jesus is doing it. The disciples see it. They want it. Jesus says, well, this is how you should do it. So here's what I wanted to point out. Before Jesus tells them how to pray, he says two things on how they should not pray. And this is what he says. Don't pray for show. Don't pray in a way that the intention is getting the approval of men or other people. In other words, this is not about impressing people around you. It's about you and your Father. I'll read the verse again. It says, and when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners that they may be seen by others. You have a religious person. It's like, oh God, I pray for them incredible things to happen. And like, is everyone watching me pray? Are you guys watching me pray right now? Okay, good. I'll continue to pray that I can just be so religious and amazing. Like, you guys are impressed by this. And God's like, none of that. No way. Get out of the street, get into a place in your home and pray with me. And he takes it from this prayer being about other people or what other people think about you to you and him. Relationship. See, it's relationship. Relationship is for the Bible from beginning to end. And then when everything you read Jesus do, you read it through the lens of relationship and things just pop out at you and you see the heart and the intention of God through everything Jesus did. And so here he's saying, first of all, don't do that. I don't want you out there, you know, praying in front of people so that people can think that you're some amazing religious person. No, I want you to go with me in the closet, pray in quiet. You know, some of my most amazing prayer times have been in my car. Like, seriously, just like the most amazing times of prayer, just driving in the car, just me and God and connecting with him. And that's what Jesus is saying. Don't use, and then also he says, the second thing is, don't use a bunch of fancy words when you pray thinking that this is what will make God answer your prayers. And if I have just the right words, if I have just the exact phrase, then somehow God's going to answer in my favor because I said the right words. I got the magic formula, and then bam, God's going to listen to me and answer me. It's like, don't use all these words. Like, the amount of words and the exact words equals God hears me. Just don't think that that's the way that God wants us to approach prayer. See, he said, because God knows everything that you need before you even ask him. Like, dwell on that. Like, meditate on that. Everything that you think that God is unaware of, he already knows. So that would change how you approach your heavenly Father, right? If you came in and say, God, you already know. And so let's just cut right down to the chase. And here's what I hear Jesus saying. I don't want a fake, fabricated relationship with you. I want the real, authentic you. I don't want you hiding behind a bunch of words and, oh, did I say it right? Did I pray it right? No, I just want you to share your heart with me. I know everything. I know everything about you. I made you. I created you. So just talk to me. Can you see through their lens of relationship, Jesus is trying to break down barriers. You think that you have to be so perfect to come to God, and God's saying, I know everything about you. I know what you did yesterday. I know what you're going to do. Just come to me. It's breaking down barriers. It's taking the is this about all everyone seeing me? No, get in your closet. No, do I have the exact phrase? Just share your heart. I already know what you're going through anyways. Can you see how Jesus is helping us understand the Father's like, he just wants you. Just the real, genuine, authentic you, nothing to hide. And that's where he can take care of probably the guilt and shame that you have that you're carrying around that pushes you away from him. He's like, come on in. I want to talk to you about that. I want to affirm my love and my grace for you in that area of your life and the forgiveness that I have freely to offer you. And see, God is amazing in that way. You know, don't we all long to be fully known in our weaknesses and our failures and our shortcomings and still be loved? Yeah. And I believe that's what God's offering us, and Jesus is showing that through these two points of how not to pray. Come to him like that. So the two things I'll share, two main points from this. Prayer is not about being seen by men, it's about being seen by God. Right? Not out in the corners in your closet. It's not about you having this incredible, like when people ask me to pray, you know, let's come up with the perfect religious words here and high, lofty, amazing words. No, it's about being seen by him. Secondly, prayer is for you, it's about you, and it's meant to be between you and him, right? Relationship. So Jesus is showing us how to pray, and then when you see he gets to the two things to not pray like, then he says, I want you to pray like this. And we're going to look at the first point on your notes. And it's this, it's meant to be personalized. Jesus was giving you and I a template to pray from. And you know when it says the Lord's Prayer, and sometimes you think, well, that's here's prayer. Because the way it's labeled makes me think, I don't know how you think, I think that's the Lord's Prayer. But when you read it, it's not the Lord's Prayer, it's our prayer. He's giving you and I the prayer template for how we can connect and have the relationship with God that he had with the Father. And so he's saying, if you want to pray and have what I have with the Father, then you should pray like this. So it's the Lord's Prayer is our prayer. This is our prayer so that we can get where he is and he was in connection with God. So look at how Jesus starts the prayer that you and I are supposed to pray like. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. And the first thing that you and I need to do is focus on who we're coming to. Is you're coming to your heavenly Father and relationship. You're not coming to, you know, I was thinking about Jesus could have said, our God who are in heaven, you know. So why did Jesus say our Father? Because from the very beginning, he says, if you want what I have, I want you to know when you pray, the very first thing that should be on your mind is you have a Father. You have a Father who loves you, who will do anything to have the connection with you and to have a deep, meaningful relationship with you. So if you're going to come to God, come to your Father. Come to your Father who loves you. He can handle all of you. All of you, and I know this to be true because I've brought God all of me many times. In fact, the scary season I've been through, I prayed all kinds of prayers that are just so real with God. Like, God, what are you doing with my life? That's real, right? I have no idea what's happening to me. See, that's what God wants. He doesn't want me to hide behind and say, God, I just trust you, and I do trust him, but he wants to hear, God, this is scary. I don't understand. Like, he wants that part of you so that he can affirm and reassure you. See, you're coming to a Father. God, Dad, what's happening with me? What are you doing in my life? Come to him as your Father who is in heaven and understand that he is holy. Hallowed be your name. See, Jesus says, I want you to start here. Because if you and I can focus on who God is, one, he's your heavenly Father relationship. And secondly, if we can meditate and ponder, because he gives a descriptive, he's our Father, but who is he? He's holy, hallowed be your name. God is perfect in all his ways. He's perfect in his love. He's perfect in his plan for your life. So if we meditate on God, our Father, hallowed be your name, and you pause there, start there. That's the starting point, disciples. If you want to start right here, and so you think, okay, I'm going to just ponder this for a second, say, God, you are holy. You are amazing in my life, and you are so capable, you are strong, you are mighty. And you think about all the worship song we sing, think about all the incredible verses that we know of to be true of God and his character. He's all-knowing, he's all-powerful. And I think that if you could start there and spend some time in your prayer thinking like that, we might get a little farther in our prayers, because all of a sudden our attention is focused on the right thing at the beginning. And this is how most of my prayers go. God, I need help. Amen. Right? And so it's kind of like you acknowledge God, Lord, help me. And it just goes from here to straight down to the give us this day our daily bread. It's like you skip the step and God's like, wait a second, come back up here and think about your Father. You know, all the things that Jesus said, what father's going to give you a stone if your son asks for a fish? Like, how much more is your heavenly Father? You know, so if we think about and meditate on how good our Father is and how faithful he's been to you and I, and how he's come through for us time and time and time again, even in the most horrible, unknown situations, even through the pain and the heartache that we go through in life, Father, you're holy. You're going to come through. Then it puts our prayers in priority, right? It's the right order. Start there if you want to have a connection like I have with the Father. Jesus, I believe, pondered on the goodness of God. God, you are good to me. I don't know how this works. In fact, I'll be honest with you. I didn't know what was going to happen to me when I was in the hospital. I genuinely didn't know. I didn't know if I was going to come out of the hospital. But I knew that God was good to me. And so out of that place, God's goodness has still been realized to turn those things around for good, right, for those who love him. And so I've experienced it, and you think about that. If our prayers could just start there, maybe we might get a little bit farther. Maybe our faith might rise up and say, oh, God, if I can just not just think of you as this God and this, like, God, I need help, and, right, just wait, pause. Oh, start here. Our Father, you're holy, and I trust you, and you've been good to me, and I believe you're going to still. See, you might even get back down to your need and just go, oh, yeah, I know you're going to take care of that, God, because you spent time realizing who you're talking to. Start there, and so that's going to be, I think, a huge key for us. If we just address God and then we begin and then we just rush down to our needs, we may be missing something, skipping part of it. Amen? Is that pretty good? I mean, I feel like I find that I could just go home from there. I could just, you know, like, amen. God, let's go dwell on our relationship with a loving Heavenly Father. Second thing is it refocuses our priorities. Jesus said, pray, your Father, hallowed be your name. And then he says, your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. The second thing that this prayer that Jesus wants you and I to pray when we're thinking relationship is it refocuses our priorities. Suddenly, all of our priorities get shifted and put into place when we are connecting with our Father and we pray that kind of prayer. God, I want your will to be done in my life, not mine. And now all my priorities get shifted because we suddenly realize this. You acknowledge who God is, and you're reminded real quick of what kingdom you are a part of. Are you a part of Mike's kingdom? Are you guys all part of my kingdom? We're part of God's kingdom. And it's not my will. It's not what I want. It's what he wants. And I found this to be true. His will for my life is so much better than mine. And it's true for your life. And if you can get into a prayer time with your lovingly Heavenly Father, and you can pray, God, I know that I may seem like I want these things and I desire these things, but just you can offer this and say, but God, I want your will, because I know that your will is going to work out so much better than what I can come up with. So you submit yourself. All these priorities begin to shift and get in line with what God's best for you is in that prayer. So the loving Heavenly Father looking at this prayer through the lens of a relationship is saying, I want what's best for you. Include this in your prayer, would you please? Because I thought of your days as all of them before there was not one of your days. I knew all of them before you were born. I put you together. I knew everything you experienced. And he says, when you go to pray to your Father, make sure you pray, God, would your will be done in my life? Just like it is in heaven, would it be done here on earth? And so I think that there's two parts of that. Not only does God want his best for you, that's relationship right there. He wants you to have heavenly realities now in this life. He wants you to have that, pray that God's kingdom would come now down here on earth. And so he says he wants healing, he wants blessings, he wants provision, he wants fulfillment, he wants satisfaction for you, for your life. And if you're praying this prayer, or it's like, God, I ask that heaven would come down in this situation in my life where I'm sick, I don't know what's happening, but say, God, have your way in me. God, may your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So however you see this in heaven, I'll take that over this. And he's inviting you in to have the heavenly realities of no more tears, no more crying, no more sickness, no more suffering be evident in your life here and now. So you get invited into this place where God's saying, I want you to experience some of that abundant life here and now. You're going to get it. It's all there. It's planned for you, ready for you, eternity. But while you're here, I want to be with you so that you can taste heaven here. May your kingdom come, heavenly kingdom come, on earth as it is in heaven in my life. When you pray prayers like that, that starts to refocus your priorities and you begin to experience the love and desire that God has for you and I to have heaven come into your life. Amen? Isn't that? I mean, this Jesus is so wise. He's so good. And all I see when I read the Bible from beginning to end is just a loving Heavenly Father that just loves us so much. And he can't stand that there would be anything that would come in the way of you and I having just the best connection, relationship possible with him. And then the third thing is Jesus gives us this prayer to pray as it addresses our need for daily provision. I love that Jesus said, and give us this day our daily bread, but he says how not to pray. He says, don't pray this fake prayer like as if I'm unaware of what you need. I love that he says, I know what you need before you even open your mouth. So I love the reality of that God just, he sees you. He sees you. I see you. I'm aware. I'm not unaware. I'm right with you. And although it's scary and you don't know, but I'm with you. I'm with you. I can see you. I know where you're at. When we pray, give us this day our daily bread, I believe we're just inviting God into our need for provision on a daily basis, like every day. Sometimes we may have a lot in life and sometimes we may not have anything. And those people who feel like they have nothing, guess what? They need to know that, God, you are here with me every day, giving me today. I need this today. And God shows up. He's the God of, I will show up and I'll give you everything you need on a daily basis. Give us this day our daily bread. It reminds us who our provider is. Reminds us that I believe God is so passionate about his role as being provider in your life that he says, make sure that you pray for me to take care of your needs every day because I'm passionate about meeting your needs. He says, I'll meet all your needs. I'll bless you. And I have all the riches in heaven. Everything that we have need of, he's capable of providing for us. He's not short on cash. He's not short on healing. He's not short on anything. I love that the Bible says that God is rich in mercy because I need mercy so much. And I just need to know that when I come to God, he's not short on giving me mercy because sometimes it's like, I feel like I don't deserve it. But God's like, oh, I'm rich. I got plenty of mercy. You need mercy today? Come on. I'm rich in mercy, loving kindness, and the character of who God is. So this, give us this day our daily bread, I believe it's about the relationship that he wants with you so that we know that he is enough, right? Jesus said, I'm the bread of heaven. I'm the one who sustains your very life. And if you can come to me on a daily basis, you'll make the connection that everything in your life just comes through me. It's me. I am your bread. I am your provision. I am what you need. And I think that that's what Jesus is saying. Give us this day our daily bread. God, you are enough for me. If I have you, I have everything. When I was in the hospital and you think thoughts of like, I may go be in heaven with you or I may lose everything, suddenly you start to realize that if I have
God and my family have everything. If I have him, nothing else matters. Like the things of the world, you know, that song, suddenly they go strange and dim. It's like, I don't care about money, any of the material possessions. It means nothing unless I have God's presence in my life. It's everything. It's the relationship that we have with our Father. It's not the things that we accomplish in life and the things we... God has good plans. He has all the dreams for you, but God wants the relationship. He wants the heart. He wants to be the daily bread. I want to be with you every day, not just sometimes. And I'm telling you why I go through times where days pass and I haven't addressed God that much. And it's like, oh, Lord, you really want to be in my life every day as a loving Father. And how much that changes, right? The prayer is not about, did I pray? Didn't I pray? Oh, God, I miss you. I need you. I love you. And it begins to draw you towards him versus like, I just checked my box. I prayed today. Read my Bible. It's much, so much more to God than that. He wants to talk to you on a daily basis, to encourage you what you're going through, to reassure his love for you, to give you that grace, that mercy, to show his incredible desire to just sit with you in your darkness and the struggle, to rejoice with you through the triumphs and the victories. He wants it all. He wants to be with you. He wants to be your God. He wants to be your Father. I can't tell you how much I enjoy being a father. And getting to enjoy and experience things with my children is so incredibly satisfying. We went up to the mountains, we were camping with them, and just to watch them play and to do all those things, it's so satisfying. And the Father, our Father in heaven, is the same way. He loves to just be with you and watch you and to provide for you in all these different ways. So I get emotional because that's where my heart is when I think about my Heavenly Father. I start to see the breakdown of everything I need to do and more just like, he just wants me to be a son. I don't have to perform for him. I don't have to put on a big old show. You know, when I used to, I preached before, I used to feel such a sense of like, I have to do something, like work up something. And it's like, it just slowly starts to fade over time because that's exhausting. And you start to go, oh God, you just want me to be your son. And I can just do that. I can just be versus doing. And if we can live out of that place, prayer is just like so much more engaging, isn't it? So much more satisfying and not burdensome or somehow scary to connect with God. And we can come approach him in such a genuine, sincere way. The fourth thing is it reminds us to take a personal inventory. And so I'll try to kind of move through the last two points just so we can get them in. But it reminds us to take a personal inventory because he says, and he asks us, say, forgive us our debts. God, forgive me as we also forgiven our debtors. God wants you to start with you first. Jesus, you want to have the relationship, the connection. He's like, it's really important to me that we take care of what's happened in your heart and the areas that you've fallen short. Let's start there. Take the personal inventory like David did. God, search me and know me. Know, see if there's any hurtful, harmful way in me, and this helped me with that. I know that there's been things in my life, it's like bitterness, anger, frustration gets in my heart. It's like, God, can you get this out? Because I'm just wrestling with this, and he's able to take care of that. And he's like, okay, do you have anything that you need to address with some people around you, some brothers or sisters or friends or family members that you need to go forgive? And here's why this is so important, because it's about relationship. Here, we have a relationship with our Heavenly Father. How and why? Because he forgave you and I. So how can we have the relationship because he's forgiven us and come over here and withhold forgiveness from you? It's like, that's not going to work. Let's go ahead and take care of you and then make sure you go take care of the things that you have against your brothers and sisters, because Jesus, God, our God, is all about relationship. And if there's things that are breaking down the connections that we have, he's like, take care of that. I live in Ellis, we'll fight. Go take care of that. They're young, so you still have to help figure things out a little bit. Go make things right with your sister. You know, like, go make sure, go say sorry to her, go make it right, go talk to her. It's because it's almost like this, my
care and desire for them to have such a healthy relationship is so important. It's like, make things right with each other. And they think that God wants the same thing for you and I. The fifth thing is, it reminds us of our need for protection. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. You know, our Father is aware that we have an enemy that wants to literally destroy our life. It's not even a secret, and if you don't believe it, it's really true. The agenda of the enemy of your soul is to steal, kill, and destroy. He wants you to go to hell, literally, and be forever separated from your Father. And God wants to protect you so much. He's like, would you... That's why I think that when you read the prayer, it's just like you could spend so much time just pondering and thinking about this and seeing the heart of God behind it. It's like, what father wouldn't want to protect his children? There's a real enemy out there for your life and for your soul that heaps on shame and the guilt, that lies to us, that puts the oppression on, that puts the depression, makes you feel hopeless, and all those things. Not all of them are from the enemy, but a lot of them are. Some of them are just self-inflicted decisions we made. But the point is, God's like, would you pray that I would help you deliver you from temptation, the things that would come on your life that would put you in bondage, keep you up, keep you from the relationship that I want with you, and pray that I would deliver you from evil. Because my heart is to protect, to push the enemy back off of your life, to push back those works of darkness so that there's nothing stopping the connection that you and I have, a Heavenly Father who wants a relationship with his children. Relationship. Isn't that good? Amen. Let's pray. Lord, I want to pray for all of us here that more than just me and my attempts to communicate your heart, I pray that your Spirit would do just such a better job than I can. But Lord, I just sense love. I sense the acceptance, the forgiveness, the mercy, you desire to give each one of us, to remove the obstacles, the guilt and the shame and the things that are just holding us back from having a prayer life, talking with you, our God, that we don't have to come up with such fabricated religious words. It's just talk to you. You know us. You see us. You're aware. And for us to think that we have to come and approach you in such a perfect way is such an obstacle, God. Lord, I pray that you would just allow our hearts to be courageous enough to entrust them to you. Sometimes we may not know what you'll say or how you'll respond because of what we've experienced in life with our fathers or our parents. But God, you are a perfect Father. That's why you want us to pray. You're our Father in heaven. You're perfect. You're not going to give us something that's going to harm us. You're not going to condemn. You're going to bring love and forgiveness and kindness into our hearts where we need it the most, God. So Lord, I pray everyone here who has the need of love and forgiveness and acceptance, Lord, that it would just be poured out upon them right now in Jesus' name. And that, Lord, this message would draw them closer to you rather than put guilt or shame on them or in their prayer life. Lord, I believe you so, so badly want us to have what you had with the Father. Just perfect relationship, perfect communion, perfect fellowship, perfect just connection, God. No fear, or we have to fear you, or just be afraid of what you'll do if you found out that we have this thing in our life. Lord, you know everything. And Lord, in all of it, you see that we want your will in our life. We want the heavenly realities here and now. God, we want the provision to come from you and to realize that nothing in this world is going to satisfy us, but you are our daily bread. God, give us today what we need. Just today's enough, Lord. Contentment, godliness, you, Jesus. We've got it all. It's heaven. We have all we need. And Lord, would you forgive us where we've fallen short? We have messed up, and I think that's the beautiful thing about you is that we have, and you're ready and willing to forgive us when we confess our sins. You're faithful, God. You will do what you said. You will forgive us. And Lord, that your kindness would draw us towards repentance in you. And Lord, if we are holding grudges and things against other people, Lord, only you can sometimes give us the power to let go of hatred because of something someone did to us. That's beyond our abilities, God. I believe that's why you included in this prayer. God, there are things that we can't do on our own strength and our human nature and our heart. God, we just hold on to bitterness and we hold on to things because it's so hard to let them go. But God, let your forgiveness flood our hearts, and Lord, may it extend to people who have harmed us in this life. It's holding us back, Lord, from the relationship that you want with us. And Lord, again, protect us. Keep us safe. Deliver us from evil, from the adversary who prowls around like a roaring lion. We command the works of darkness to lift off of our lives in the name of Jesus. And we pray, Lord, where the enemy is trying to attack us, we pray that the angels of God would be able to guard us and to keep us in our coming and our going. That, Lord, we could dwell in safety just like you desire, just like the shepherd and the sheep. We could dwell and we can lay down in peace, and we can be the sheep of your pasture, your people. The dwelling of God is with man. We will be our God and we will be your people. Lord, you so desire a relationship with Jesus. Draw us in today by your Holy Spirit that we can experience all you have for us. We love you. We bless you in the name of Jesus. Amen. Let's respond. Would you stand up? Let's just let God speak to us through worship, and I'll come back to close us in prayer.
And as we all bow down, and as we all come casting off our crowns, would you hear our cry? We want to see you glorified and glorify your name. Glorify your name. Glorify your name. We want to see you glorified in glory.
Prayer. There's going to be prayer people to come assist you in prayer right now. It's a great opportunity to pray, isn't it? And if there's that blockage, you need prayer. Anything that God talked to you during the message, these individuals are here to pray with you. Break through that barrier that's stopping you from feeling that full connection with God that maybe you long for, you desire, maybe you never have, maybe you don't even know where to start. That's a good place to start. Come get prayer and say, God, I want that. I want to be so connected to you in that way. And come get prayer, and these individuals will be glad to pray with you for that. But I'm sure grateful to be with you this morning, and I just want to close in prayer, and the worship's going to continue, and the prayer time's going to continue. But after I pray, you're dismissed. But let's just thank God for what he's done and what he's going to do. Father, we thank you that we trust you with our lives. But I trust you that you have done what you needed to do this morning through your word. You'll accomplish what it sets out to do, Lord. And so, Lord, do your great work in our lives. Lord, be victorious in the areas that we struggle. Lord, be compassionate, Lord, and loving in the areas where we need your kindness, God. And, Lord, can we, all of us, learn to pray like you did and to have the loving Heavenly Father connection that we want, that you desire for us. We love you. We bless you. We pray all those things in Jesus' name. Amen. You're dismissed. God bless you. Love you. See you next Sunday. Come get prayer if you need it.
I want to thank you for joining us today at Hope Chapel Huntington Beach. It's our desire to share Hope Chapel's teachings globally, and we'll be excited to hear how they are empowering others to live for Jesus. If this message has brought you closer to Jesus, we'd like to know. Email us at office@hopechapelhb.org. And if you would like to support this ministry financially, you can give online securely by clicking the Give button above. If you're interested in Hope Chapel contacting you, fill out the Get Connected tab below. Whatever season of life you're in, we want to go through it with you. Again, thank you for joining us.